So the talk that I'm going to give today is titled Ways of Acceptance, Ways of Acceptance. Acceptance is a skill. The Buddha taught skills, as I always emphasize. We try to teach skills. That's the job of the teacher, is to teach skills. As the Buddha said, the mark of a good teacher is teaching a step-by-step approach. So acceptance is a skill. We all have the potential for acceptance. So, you know, we have this potential within us, in the heart, for acceptance. Like all potential, it has to be developed. So it's not enough to have the potential for acceptance and the other qualities of the heart that we have the potential for, the qualities of concentration that we have the potential for. We have to develop our potential. That's kind of our job as human beings, is to develop our potential. That's something that I've always has always interested me. You know, can I develop my potential as a human being? How do I do that? How do I do that? I think that's why I came to the Buddha's teaching, and in particular the Theravada style, which really encompasses what the Buddha taught, because the Buddha taught skills, that I think was probably the thing that most attracted me, that I found most appealing about this practice, is that it was skills-based. The Buddha teaches skills, so we can develop our skill. Of course, it's important to learn what the skill is and then to practice the skill. Skills have to be practiced. So as Dharma students, we develop this skill of acceptance. We have to develop this potential for acceptance. So in that spirit of practicing skills and understanding what these skills are, I'm going to suggest two ways of developing acceptance, that there's two primary ways. There may be other ways or modalities or levels, if you will, of developing acceptance. What I'm going to talk about today is two specific ways that I think are most important for us in developing acceptance, or where the practice, the skill of developing acceptance is applied. We could call these two ways of acceptance the mundane level and the transcendent level, which is a terminology that's used somewhat frequently in the Buddha's teachings. Mundane is sort of a mundane term, a prosaic term, sort of the everyday in life. Application, and then the transcendent is really, you know, applied when we have that opportunity to understand our experience more deeply. So both these ways of acceptance are important to develop, are very important and useful to develop. So beginning with the first level of acceptance, mundane or broad acceptance. In developing acceptance on this level, we are practicing a skill in which we're developing acceptance of the vicissitudes of life. The Buddha spoke of eight vicissitudes of life that we are asked to develop acceptance toward: pleasure and pain, gain and loss, status and disrepute, praise and blame. One way to think about these vicissitudes is that their modalities of change or their conditions, their conditions of life. Life is made up of these modalities of change. Life is made up in the human realm, which is a changeable realm from day to day and moment to moment. It's an experience in which we're going through change, and change takes these forms of pleasure and pain, gain and loss, status and disrepute, praise and blame. These are the conditions of life. In developing acceptance, we are practicing a skill in which we're developing acceptance of these vicissitudes. Another way of thinking about the vicissitudes of life or the conditions of life is life is made of agreeable and disagreeable conditions. You know, if we want to be a little more elaborate in our teaching, we could say agreeable, disagreeable, and neutral conditions. In developing acceptance of agreeable and disagreeable experience, in large part, and but not only, but in large part, we're applying our skill in the service of developing acceptance, specifically of the disagreeable experience of life, the disagreeable experiences of life. So life is made of, by its nature, in this realm, there is disagreeable experience. That's the way it is in this human realm. There's disagreeable experience, and as Dhamma students, we are seeking to develop acceptance of disagreeable experience, understanding that it's the way that it is in this life. So there's pain, there's loss in this life. It's the way it is. The Buddha teaches us to reflect on this truth. In the chant on the five subjects for frequent recollection, the teaching, you know, we're asked to reflect frequently on the pain in life that's found in illness and aging and death. We're asked to reflect frequently on separation, the truth of separation, that will grow separate from all that is dear and appealing to us. These are experiences of life that are disagreeable, that are painful. So this experience in the human realm is subject to birth and death. All experience is subject to birth and death. The coffee I just drank is subject to birth and death. Unfortunately, I've just experienced the death of the coffee. The experience of the human realm is impermanent, inconstant, conditioned, unreliable, uncontrollable, and inherently unsatisfactory. And this is the way it is in the human realm, in the conditioned realm. The conditioned realm is inherently unsatisfactory due to its impermanent nature. So we're asked to develop acceptance of this disagreeable experience of life. It's not all disagreeable. There's the agreeable, there's pleasure, and there's gain, and there's praise. Our difficulty tends to be with the things that are disagreeable. Not that we don't have difficulty with the things that are agreeable. We sort of have to learn to develop acceptance of those things in terms of their impermanent nature as well, of course. But in particular, in developing the skill of acceptance, we learn to develop acceptance around disagreeable experience. So we talk about four steps for developing acceptance in regard to disagreeable experience. The first is to recognize when our experience is disagreeable. So recognize when we are going through something that's disagreeable. or if we are, we could say, well, we could recognize that we're going through aging, and you know, that's something that we want to be able to do. In particular, we want to recognize, you know, when we're perhaps struggling with the notion of aging or dying. But we can always, of course, reflect on aging, and you know, that's what we're doing when we're chanting. So we're asked to recognize experience when it's disagreeable, when we're going through a disagreeable experience, in particular when we might be at odds with it or in conflict with it. So to recognize that experience is disagreeable, part of what that includes is acknowledging that experience is disagreeable. This is one of the places where Buddhism gets a knock, Buddhism says everything is disagreeable, or Buddhism, which it doesn't, of course. The Buddha doesn't say everything is disagreeable. He just says there's a bunch of stuff that's disagreeable, in this life. And of course, it's not that we're just focusing on things that are disagreeable, but so much of experience is disagreeable that it's so important to learn to have acceptance of it if we want to be happy in this life. Buddhism gets a knock for perhaps through the uninformed in saying that, based on the notion that it's proclaiming that, life is disagreeable. It's not quite what it's saying that experience is disagreeable, but, that's not a knock on Buddhism, that's a knock on life, it's like Buddhism is just pointing to the truth. It's just pointing to the truth. The teaching is just pointing to the truth. It's not Buddhism's fault that life is disagreeable, Now, of course, what we're asked to do as Dhamma students is not to deny that it's disagreeable, not deny that there's disagreeable experience, right? To look at the truth. So in recognizing the vicissitudes, and in recognizing disagreeable experience, painful experience, loss, we're not denying that it's disagreeable. Because this can oftentimes be our tendency. I mean, one thing we want to do is look away and not look too clearly at it, right? I know there's aging, but, I'm not really going to look too clearly at that. I'll kind of keep it in, my peripheral vision, maybe. And what we're really asked to do is look directly at the truth of disagreeable experience and not to deny that it's disagreeable, not to over inflate the disagreeable nature of experience, but let's face it, death is pretty damn disagreeable, but to see it for what it is, it's a disagreeable experience. So, our tendency is often to try to kind of sugarcoat it. Well, it's not so bad, it's not so bad. This loss isn't so bad. This thing that I'm going through isn't so bad. And when we do that, we're sort of engaging in non-acceptance, right? Or at the very least, not seeing clearly. But that's one of the things, one of the things I always like, that people do is, they're going through something disagreeable and it's like, well, this too shall pass, Yeah, it'll pass, and then there'll be something else that's disagreeable, Disagreeable experience is not passing, it's coming and going, but it ain't going forever, So, that's true that things are impermanent, and sometimes that can be useful, perhaps. It's a real stretch, I think. It's one way that we engage in denial of the way things are. It's like, I'm aging. That won't pass. Death isn't going to pass. So the first step, really, which is in many ways the most important, is to recognize that experience is disagreeable and just to recognize it, you know, not to comment on it, not to try to analyze it. It's a disagreeable experience. So the second step is to cultivate insight. So the insight is really simple, right? The insight is, this is the way that it is in the conditioned realm. This is the way things are in the human realm. Experience is subject to change, to birth and death. Experience is going to fluctuate between agreeable and disagreeable experience. Experience is subject to pleasure and pain, gain and loss, and so forth. There is sickness, aging, and death, and separation, and this is the way that it is in the conditioned realm. So in cultivating insight, we're reminding ourselves of that. You know, we're reminding ourselves of that. The heart already understands that. The heart understands these things completely. This is why we say we're cultivating insight here. The heart understands the nature of experience. Right? The citta and the citta, there's complete understanding of sickness, aging, and death. It's the mind that doesn't want to accept those truths or doesn't want to comprehend the truth. So, you know, we use some fabrication to incline ourselves to the truth that's already in the heart. So, you know, we're reminding ourselves when we chant the five subjects for frequent recollection, I am subject to aging, aging is unavoidable. I am subject to illness, illness is unavoidable. I am subject to death, death is unavoidable. I will grow separate, different from all that is dear and appealing to me. And you know, the Buddha says these are things that we should reflect on again and again. You know, and it's very useful to do that as a general reflection, like in a chant or in a Dharma talk, but really in applying the skill. So this is really important. You know, this is sort of one of these refined points for the seasoned Dhamma student, you know, because it's one thing to chant that, and it's another thing altogether to reflect that way in the midst of disagreeable experience. I mean, we're all in the midst of disagreeable experience, but when you're going through something that's disagreeable, or you're struggling with aging, or something is challenging, you know, you're going through a loss, you know, this is when we have to really apply the skill. Okay, this is a disagreeable experience. I'm going through a loss of a relationship or a job or a friend or a partner who died. And this is the way that it is in life, you know, bringing in insight. This is the truth of the way that it is. So in developing the skill, you know, the skill is you know, in its most refined and effective, useful application, it's applied when we're involved in experience. So it's one thing to get to chant, you know, and, you know, it's another thing when you're going through hell, you know, to acknowledge this is the way things are in this life, you know? So that's really, you know, that's really the application of the skill, right? So, you know, I mean, we have plenty of opportunity for that, you know? I mean, you know, during the pandemic, as the pandemic has evolved, you know, there are many occasions when I just paused, you know, and I was struggling. Oh, this pandemic, it's terrible, it's awful. You know, well, this is the way that it is in this life. Sickness, aging, and death. This is what the Buddha was talking about. This is the truth of the conditioned realm. Yeah, this is the truth of the conditioned realm. And that was always very important for me to do in terms of develop acceptance of this is the way things are. So the third step is to incline to the quality of acceptance that's in the heart. It's a quality of equanimity. It's a component of equanimity. So we have this potential for acceptance that's actually in the heart, but we have to incline to it. And the way that we incline to any quality, so, okay, this is the way it is in this human realm, there's sickness, aging, and death. We're going through this pandemic. You know, let me incline to acceptance. The way that I would do that is, you know, try to bring my attention into the heart center and say, can I have acceptance? You know, let me have acceptance using some kind of fabrication and then perhaps a felt sense in the heart. And then, of course, the third element is having a center and having a refuge, a good place to put the mind. This is where acceptance and equanimity as a function of concentration comes into play. Equanimity is a function of concentration, you know, the ability that we're developing in meditation practice to put the mind in a good place, to have a good home for the mind, to maintain some space, you know. So, you know, the breath really, you know, enables us to have that easeful space. If we can connect, you know, so we have a little bit of remove, we're not going into the thoughts about the disagreeable experience. If we can find that easeful breath, it brings the nervous system into a state of regulation. So if we can cultivate acceptance in the midst of disagreeable experience instead of rebelling, you know, instead of rebelling and fighting disagreeable experience, then we can be in contact with the heart. We can be connected to the heart. If we're rebelling against things when they're disagreeable, we're cut off from the heart. You know? But if we can have acceptance of that which is disagreeable and some space, and the breath just sort of affords us the ability to maintain the space, you know, then we can be in connection with the heart and we can have compassion for ourselves and for others. In response to whatever is disagreeable, in response to sickness, aging, and death, and we can move forward in our lives with wisdom and with love. We can take action in life, you know, in spite of the disagreeable nature of life. We can take action that's skillful, that's informed by love, and we can know happiness, happiness of heart. Our happiness isn't dependent on the nature of conditioned experience. This, of course, is the fifth contemplation. I am subject to illness, I am subject to death, I am aging, I am subject to death, I will grow separate, different from all that is dear and appealing to me. I am the owner of my actions, heir to my actions, born of my actions, related through my actions, and will live dependent on my actions. Whatever I do, for good or for evil, to that will I fall heir. Your happiness is dependent on your actions. But our actions, we're not going to be able to be skillful and to act with love and compassion towards ourselves and others if we're in a state of non-acceptance of the disagreeable nature of life. Then we're cut off from the heart and we don't have the ability to act skillfully. So acceptance enables us, amidst disagreeable experience, to stay connected to the heart and to continue to be happy. You know, our happiness isn't dependent on our experience being agreeable. You know? It's dependent on our ability to have acceptance with the way things are when they're disagreeable and to stay connected to the heart and act out of wisdom and love. So that's the first modality of acceptance. And then the second is transcendent acceptance. And transcendent acceptance is applied in our practice of the Four Noble Truths. As we engage in the tasks of the Four Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths, as the Buddha taught in his sermon when he set the wheel of the Dharma in motion, are tasks that we're asked to accomplish as we move along the path. And the first task, of course, is to recognize when there's dukkha, when there's suffering, when there's stress, when the heart is in a squeeze, when we're afflicted. When we recognize dukkha, when we recognize that we're suffering, you know, if we're following the path, we can have some space and cultivate acceptance of suffering. That's sort of the most basic level, is just, okay, I'm experiencing suffering. And, you know, we have to sort of have that Sometimes that's all we're able to do is, okay, I'm suffering in this moment, I'm afflicted. I gave a Dharma talk on that a few months ago. Sort of that just very basic level of just seeing that we're experiencing suffering, and we're talking about the suffering in the heart, and just to cultivate acceptance around that. But as we're attending to these tasks of the Four Noble Truths, of course, what we're asked to do is comprehend that there's dukkha, that there's suffering, and see that it's informed by something that we're doing, in other words, clinging, and see what we're clinging to. So, you know, this is what we talk about all the time when we talk about ABC, bring awareness to your suffering, bring awareness to your clinging and the object that you're clinging to. So in comprehending our suffering, we're seeing that we're clinging to, all clinging is rooted in aversion and desire, liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting. So we see that we're clinging to some form of aversion or desire, or we're clinging to anger or anxiety or worry or disappointment, you know, fill in the blank, dissatisfaction, despair, rage, helplessness, judgment. So we see that we're afflicted, that we're clinging to some mental state, if it's a mental state, emotional state, and we bring awareness to it, right? We bring awareness to it. That's the ABC that we always talk about. We bring awareness to the experience. That awareness has to include acceptance, right? Has to include acceptance. And that's part of the equanimity that we bring to the experience, the acceptance. So we're aware of anger, anxiety, dissatisfaction, despair, helplessness, judgment, with acceptance, with acceptance. So with acceptance of the aversion, desire, disappointment, dissatisfaction, judgment, acceptance of it. So this is transcendent acceptance, acceptance in the moment that you're suffering and clinging, of the clinging and the object of the clinging. Acceptance of it. So the skill of acceptance on the transcendent level includes seeing in real time as it's happening that they're suffering, clinging, holding on, seeing what we're holding on to, this is the A, right? And seeing non-acceptance, right? This is something I've talked about for years. In order to cultivate acceptance, you have to see non-acceptance. Because, you know, our habitual tendency when we're clinging and when we're engaged in some kind of a mental quality and holding on to it is non-acceptance of that quality. And then once we start to look at it, you know, that acceptance, that non-acceptance often becomes exacerbated. So, you know, everybody has different ways of engendering non-acceptance around mental qualities that they're clinging to, you know, and that's all sort of your little personal karma. You know, sometimes it's just disliking the anxiety or disliking the aversion or the disappointment or the judgment or not wanting it, you know, not wanting to get rid of it, of course, is the classic form of non-acceptance. Judgment of ourselves. I shouldn't be clinging to this. You know, judgment of the object. Anger is bad, resentment is bad, you know, judgment is bad, despair is bad, it's wrong, I'm doing something wrong, right? I mean, this is a classic example of non-acceptance. This is wrong, clinging is wrong, this isn't what the Buddha teaches. Yeah? He says we should see that they're suffering. Not that it's wrong, or it's bad, or it shouldn't be happening. Or, of course, I'm bad. I'm bad for clinging. I'm a bad person for having resentment, or anger, or worry. No, you're a human being. You know? You didn't read the fine print when you signed up for this role. This is part of your human, conditioned DNA. You know, we're all subject. Where do you think these emotions came from? You know, they're all built in. A lot of them we've engendered. A lot of them we've been taught, you know, we've been taught, you know, to be angry and to hold on to rage and helplessness and judgment. But they're all part of what it is to be a human being, you know? So it's not a question of right or wrong. It's, am I suffering or not? So when there's non-acceptance, we have to see that. When there's non-acceptance of these states, it's very important to see that. And just see it. Usually if you can see the non-acceptance, it'll pass. So we see that there's non-acceptance and we incline to acceptance. So I often have to remind myself when I'm being mindful of some mental state like dissatisfaction or worry that I'm holding on to, I have to see if there's, you know, non-acceptance, and then I just incline very subtly to acceptance. All right, just accept this. This is the what's happening right now. This is your experience. Just let it be here. It's okay. And then just bring awareness to it. That's the A. That's the A. Just bring awareness to the experience of dissatisfaction or judgment or resentment. So when there's acceptance, there can be some space, you know, from the clinging and the object, and there can be some wisdom. When there's space and acceptance, then there's the potential for our innate wisdom to understand. You know, our job is to let our innate wisdom understand our clinging and free us. You know, our innate wisdom, the wisdom in the heart, is what will liberate us. You know, that's why this kind of acceptance is transcendent, because if there's non-acceptance of the clinging and the object of the clinging, then we're cut off from our innate wisdom and we're not able to be freed from our clinging and these objects. A, B, C. So just bring awareness with our acceptance. With acceptance, let our innate wisdom understand the experience. Center ourselves in the breath. Let there be some space. And then if there's acceptance, then we're able to touch into the heart and to compassion. If there's non-acceptance, that blocks us off from compassion, blocks us off from the heart. So acceptance, as we're being aware of our clinging and the objects that we're clinging to, is necessary for there to be wisdom that's liberating, for there to be compassion. If there's acceptance, then we can accomplish the task of the second noble truth, which is letting go. But without acceptance, we're not able to let go, because only the heart can let go. Without acceptance, we're cut off from the heart. If there's acceptance, we can accomplish the task of the third noble truth, which is to know cessation, to know what it's like to be free, to know happiness of heart. I thought I would end today with a little story about a relationship I had with a student I had many, many years ago, probably more than 20 years ago. This student who I was working with pretty closely was really, really struggling. She was a young woman, and her and her husband were trying to have a baby. And she was trying to get pregnant, and she was trying and trying and trying and trying and trying for really a long time and just wasn't able to. And part of the reason why she came to me, because she was in such despair and unhappiness about this. And, you know, we worked on a lot of things similar to what I've talked about today in our relationship. And, but what it really came down to was acceptance, right? She learned to develop acceptance about this is the way things are. You know, I'm not able to have a kid. And she was really very sincere and dedicated Dharma student, and you know, putting in the work, she was able to develop this really profound acceptance. You know, where she had been in such unhappiness about her situation, she developed this great acceptance. You know, and I remember her telling me that, you know, she just had really come into this place of deep acceptance and happiness. And then a little while after that, of course, she got in touch with me and said, "You'll never guess what happened. I'm pregnant." You know, so and she had a child. So it's kind of a Mother's Day story, but I thought on Father's Day, as I was thinking about this talk, that I remembered that. I don't know that I've ever told that story. maybe I did a long time ago, but I thought it was a good story about acceptance and the power of acceptance on this Father's Day. So I'll end right there, and we can just close our eyes for a second.